Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Non-24 podcast series. Dr. Paul DeGromji of Pottstown Medical Specialist Practice in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, talks to Blind Matters Radio hosts Michael and Lynn about the importance of a physician-patient dialogue and how the two can work together to understand and diagnose disorders which impact sleep, such as non-24-hour disorder. If you have questions about non-24, please call 855-856-2424 or visit non-24.com. Now let's hear what Dr. DeGromji has to say.
We have on the air waiting to speak to us, we have Dr. Paul DeGromji, and he is joining us today from the Pottstown Medical Specialist Practice in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And he's going to be discussing the importance of a physician-patient dialogue and how the two can work together to understand and diagnose disorders which impact sleep. Hi, Dr. DeGromji.
Hi, Lynn. How's everybody doing there?
How are you doing?
Hello.
We're doing.
You're right down the street from my old town, Philadelphia, Pottstown. Right down the street, right down the road, up Route 30.
Wonderful.
Yep. I think you should find out if he likes candy corn.
Pottstown. I don't know.
I do.
You do?
I love it.
Well, someday we'll be able to beam it up like on Star Trek. Yeah. So what can you tell our listeners about your research in sleep medicine and why sleep's so important?
Well, first of all, I should just give a background about myself. I've been a family physician for 28 years, but I have a tremendous interest in the area of sleep because my older brother is actually a sleep specialist. We did have a sleep lab together at one point, but we've written a lot on the area of sleep. And my whole thing is to educate clinicians that are in primary care, people that you go to when you have a problem initially, educating them on the areas of sleep, but also tiredness. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the reason why they're tired during a day has nothing to do with their glands, hormones, this, that, whatever, but simply because they didn't sleep long enough or well enough. So my job, and I do this all around the country, writing books and writing articles and giving talks and teaching, has been to try to educate my clinician colleagues on the area of sleep and sleep disorders.
I see. That's one of the things I was reading about you is that you're a strong proponent, because what happens is you go to the doctor and the doctor never heard of it, and you're saying, well, bring your records and bring literature and show them if they've never heard about non-24.
Well, first of all, let's just talk about sleep in general. First of all, we in medicine, doctors, MDs, DOs, don't get any education in sleep in medical school. Can you believe it?
No.
None whatsoever. They don't teach us anything about sleep, and yet one-third of our lives is spent in sleep. And if you mess up your sleep, more bad things can happen to you than if you mess up your diet or exercise or whatever. We just don't put enough importance on it. So what I tell about patients in general is, if you have a problem with your sleep, please bring it up. Or more importantly, I'm going to ask you about sleep problems, even if you don't tell me about your sleep problems. And finally, if you're tired, I want to know that as well. But when it comes to non-24, the thing about it is, of the blind people in this country, about 50 to 70% of them will have this what's called non-24 sleep problem. And this is because of a funny thing. Our brain clock is actually a 25-hour brain clock, or between 24 and a half and 26, something like that, average of 25 hours, okay? So our brain is geared towards and synchronized towards a 24-hour or 25-hour rhythm. But guess what? Our lives are synchronized at a 24-hour rhythm because, the world revolves in 24 hours. So sighted people, what happens with them is their 25 hours is shifted to 24 hours because of sunlight. And what happens to blind people? They don't get that cue from sunlight to tell them, oh, don't make it 25 hours, make it 24 hours. So what happens to blind people? What happens to them is their brain goes on a 25-hour cycle. Well, if you do that, 1, 2, or 3 days out of the week, you'll sleep okay. But the rest of the time, either you won't get to sleep okay, you'll have problems with insomnia, or you'll feel tired during the day. So what I tell people that are blind is I tell them, if you feel as if 1 or 2 or 3 days out of the month you sleep okay, but then the rest of the time it looks like you gradually get worse and worse and worse, so you don't sleep well and you feel tired during the day, then it seems to kind of correct itself. You may have non-24 sleep disorder, which is, what, by the way, something we call in medicine a circadian rhythm disorder, a shift of your brain clock relevant to the clock that's on the wall.
That was going to ask you to explain to people what is typically referred to as a circadian rhythm disorder. So you just explained it.
There are a lot of circadian rhythm disorders, and basically it's being out of sync. I mean, one of the easiest ones is, let's say, shift workers, okay? They work like 11 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning, but their brain clock says, that's when I want you to sleep.
Right.
So they're out of sync. And some people never get synchronized. So what happens is at work, they're always tired. And then when they come home and they want to go to sleep, they can't. That is a dyssynchrony, okay? There are other kinds of dyssynchronies as well. Like, for example, jet lag. If you travel more than three time zones, there's a tendency for you to also have a dyssynchrony there. I mean, how many times have you gone, let's say, to Europe or something where there's 5 or 6 hours difference, and, you know, you find yourself over there really tired when everybody's really awake? So this is a dyssynchrony. And non-24 happens to blind people where they have absolutely no light coming in. Okay, that's important. If you have a little bit of sunlight coming in, even if you're, let's say, legally blind, but you still have some sunlight, you can still synchronize. But if you have no sunlight coming in whatsoever, you can't synchronize. And as a result, your brain clock will be working on a 25-hour cycle when the world is working on a 24-hour cycle.
So how does someone know the difference between if they're just having poor sleep or they're having, you know, a circadian rhythm disorder like 924?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, blind people can have any kind of sleep problems. Just think about it this way. About 15% of people at any one time in this country have insomnia, trouble with sleep and getting to sleep, etc. 50% of patients coming to a primary care doctor's office have problems with sleep, you know, and blind people are not immune to any one of those kind of sleep problems. But what differentiates non-24 is that the blind person will say just what I said earlier. It seems as if, like, it's like monthly. Like, once a month, I'll have one or two or three days where I'm okay. You know, I want to go to bed at 11 and wake up at around 6. Yeah, I do okay. Then all of a sudden, the next day, you know, I have a little bit of trouble getting to sleep. The next day, a little bit more. The next day, a little bit more. And before you know it, in a week, I'm having trouble getting to sleep completely. But then all of a sudden, it seems to correct itself. So this like a pattern where every month it seems to be okay. Then the rest of the time, or the majority of the time, it's not okay. That's what really differentiates it. But, you know, sometimes you may not still be able to do so. And there are ways of kind of finding out, and that's where you can keep a sleep log. A good, sharp doctor will say to a blind person, you know what, I'm not totally sure what this is going on here. Keep a log for 1 month, you know, where you put down what time you go to bed, how long it takes for you to fall asleep, and when do you wake up, how do you feel throughout the day? And, you know, just keep doing this for a full month and come back, and sometimes that pattern can give you an idea that the person had a non-24 kind of a circadian rhythm pattern.
Charles, do you have difficulty sleeping?
Yes, I do. I'm not totally blind. I can differentiate light, but I still have problems sleeping. So, could I be having problems with the 24-hour situation?
Very, very unlikely. If you can see some light, it's very, very unlikely that you have non-24. And that your sleep problems are probably from something else. Folks, keep something in mind that's really important. And if I can impress one thing today, it's this, okay? Sleep is a critical factor of life. It's not like study hall. It's not empty time, okay? In order for sleep to do justice to you, three things have to happen. One, it's got to be long enough. Two, it's got to be good quality sleep. People, for example, wake up in the middle of the night for any number of different reasons, because they snore, they have to pee, their dog wakes up, whatever. That's poor sleep. And number
A,
three,
B, and C, right, Michael?
That's me.
What's that?
A,
that's
B, me. And C.
And number three is synchrony problems. Sleeping at the wrong time. College students do this all the time. You know, they come to college from their summer where they were going to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Now in college they have to go to bed at 11, and they can't. Synchrony is critical. And you know, folks, what can happen to you if you don't sleep either long enough or good quality, or you don't synchronize sleep? Bad things happen. Studies show that every week and every month and every year that goes by, it gets worse and worse and worse. Very similar to, let's say, blood pressure or diabetes or weight or poor diet. You know, you can do.
I was just
going to
say that. What I understand, I'm a diabetic, and I understand that if, like, I have lousy sleep, I wake up a lot. And to make a long story short, my numbers are going up also because of my sleep.
Absolutely. You see, what's going on is in your sleep, a lot of very important processes are going on. It's a place where the four R's occur. You recharge, you rejuvenate, you repair, and you restore. And all this is happening in a very synchronized pattern, okay? A very well-ordered synchronized pattern.
Dr. Dhavramji, can you please hold? Yeah. We're going to go to break, and we'll talk to you some more on the other side of the break.
Stay right there. Don't go away. We'll talk to you.
It's very interesting.
I'll take a quick nap.
Okay.
Okay.
Stay tuned for Blind Matters Radio Show. It's on the other side of the show. Stay tuned for the Blind Matters Radio Show.
So, to kind of summarize, Doctor, what should someone do if their physician isn't familiar with non-24? And how can they find out more information about non-24 and also the people in the Philly area? There's three questions here. How can they reach you? Yeah. And
Well, first of all, in general, if your doctor doesn't know anything about a particular thing, he should refer, okay? So if a blind person goes to a physician and says, look, doctor, I think I have non-24, and the doctor says, I'm not really sure what that is, he should be referring the patient to the best sleep clinic that there is. Mm-hmm. They'll know exactly what's going on. As far as what to take to the doctor, the patient may get some information from, well, there's one website, non24.com, non-24.com, which can give a lot of information which you can then take to your doctor. But a lot of times if you take information to your doctor, say, look, I got information from a website, they oftentimes cringe because they don't know if it's good information or bad information. So I usually say this, if you go to your doctor, say, I have a sleep problem, it may be non-24, what do you think? If the doctor is versed in sleep problems, he'll ask you the right questions to know what to do. If the doctor is not versed in sleep problems, certainly not versed in non-24, he'll send you to the best sleep clinic he knows.
Okay. Charles, did you have a question?
No, thank you.
Okay.
You were so interesting, really.
Yes, he was. I mean, really
very
unbelievable.
Animated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
My pleasure.
And if anybody would like to reach you in your area.
Now, tell them where.
How can they reach you?
Well, we do have a website, which is called healthcareforlife.com, and that's the parent group that I'm in, okay? Healthcareforlife.com, and we're in a large multi-specialty group. We have a sleep laboratory there. We can be reached that way. But I'll tell you to one other website which you can go to, and that's the National Sleep Foundation, of which I'm a member. They have great information about every kind of sleep problem that you can possibly go to.
Thank you, Dr. Dhavramji, very, very much. We'll have to have you back on the air. You were great.
Thank you very much for coming
on
board.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about non-24, please call 855-856-2424 to speak with a health educator or visit non-24.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Non-24 podcast series, and keep checking back for insights from physicians, life coaches, and patients about managing your Non-24.